Radio Indiana. WIBC, Indianapolis.
Won't you come home, Pat Bauer? Won't you come home? You've been a bad, bad boy. You took your public paycheck, you took our reps, and ran to Illinois.
I was very proud of my father and the Democratic Party for taking a stand on something that was so important.
They are calling a timeout in the session. Why? So that the people's rights can be heard.
I was very set on not bending on this.
Within the spaces and halls of the Indiana State House is the now decade-old specter of disunity. In 2011, Democratic lawmakers, locked into an ideal and possessed by a mindset, marched off of those tall steps of that lawmaking institution, got into their cars, and drove 128 miles to take up residence in Urbana, Illinois, a neighboring state. A state of disrepair for that year's legislative session, a time when state lawmakers are entrusted with the task of making laws.
This issue was very symbolic, almost catechism, you know, to many members of the other party.
If you talk to the average Hoosier, they don't have any idea, but it sounds good. It sounds like a right to work.
You are about to find out what so compelled them to leave the task to which they were elected, to learn why they felt it necessary to leave Indiana for over a month while the whole country watched on the nightly news.
In the war against workers, in the war against teachers.
Better pay and better working conditions.
No one has ever done this, let alone go out of state, cash their paycheck for the whole year and then walk off the job.
And to understand the lasting consequences and impressions.
They were able to, you know, take right to work off the table that year.
There's no doubt that that played a huge part in our increasing our majority by 9 members.
You're listening to Walkout. When the Democrats left Indiana.
It's a first, and I hope it'll be a last.
It was just 8 months ago, when a tsunami hit this nation.
June 27th, 2011.
We lost 22 chambers in this country that defended workers, defended public education, defended health care. And the many voters that left us knew not what they were doing. They were either mad against the lies that were created against Obama health care, or just mad about everything. And they blamed it on the president, and they didn't know about the issues in their own state. Because people in Indiana now know they're the targets.
Pat Bauer, Indiana's minority leader in the House of Representatives, speaks at the International Teamsters Convention in Las Vegas. He's speaking about a move by Indiana Democrat representatives that became famous and infamous all over the country. The 5-week walkout was considered a victory by Democrats and a severe disruption of the legislative process by Republicans. It would last from February 22nd to March 28th, 2011. During that time, most of the state's Democratic representatives would, for all practical purposes, live in Illinois in motels.
It took 5 weeks, I gotta say, weeks, in Urbana, Illinois. Illinois, thank you for the way you treated us. You were there every day. We understand that from your public unions, we helped increase your membership substantially. You're welcome. We need that. We need that all over this country because we're united in this fight.
You may or may not know much about state government, but the men and women that you elect to represent you are paid a salary and per diem to work for 3 to 4 months each year at the State House to make laws, to take care of state business, and to create and adopt a state budget. Their salary is a part-time salary, but it comes from you. It's your money. When Democrat representatives took issue 10 years ago with some of what Republicans wanted to do in that year's legislative session, they did what union members sometimes do. They essentially went on strike. You're about to find out why those representatives thought it was necessary to leave the state, and why some believe still that it was the right thing to do, even though it cost them politically.
That was really incredible to know that Indiana had a place. At that time, Wisconsin was doing a walkout over the same issue. Seeing how important it was that we were kind of used as an example, and now I think we were the 23rd state, we were one of the first in the Midwest. That was one point where I could really see the magnitude of what was happening and the importance of it.
You'll hear why people who belong to unions around the country came to Indiana, and why 30,000 people gathered at Government Center to let Indiana's lawmakers know they supported the walkout.
We're taking power from the working families of America and giving it to the filthy, rich, and corporations.
You'll find out why Republicans needed them back, and what both sides did to reach a deal in front of state and national news media and in front of you, their constituents.
Well, we're just going to wait on their conscience or their constituents to call them home, do the job they're supposed to be doing.
And what happened in the next election that may support the Republican position that Hoosiers did not appreciate the gesture. You're listening to Walkout, when the Democrats left Indiana. What you're hearing may have been a precursor to what would later happen in Indiana. Protests at the State House in Madison, Wisconsin, over bills that would lame collective bargaining for public employees. Nearly 20 Democratic senators left during union protests to express their disdain for what they considered a heavy-handed Republican approach that would cripple public employees' health care plans and raises.
Hi, it's Scott Walker.
Scott, David Koch, how are you?
Hey, David. I'm good. And yourself?
I'm very well. I'm a little disheartened by the situation there, but what's the latest?
We're actually hanging pretty tough. I mean, you know, amazingly, there's a much smaller group of protesters, almost all of whom are in from other states today.
An infamous prank call on then-Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin from someone pretending to be one of the Koch brothers.
The state Senate still has the 14 members missing. The Senate Organization Committee is going to meet and pass a rule that says if you don't show up for two consecutive days on a session day in the state Senate, the Senate chief clerk, it's a little procedural thing here, but can actually have your payroll stop from being automatically deducted.
What happened in Wisconsin was very well covered in media.
Now, you're not talking to any of these Democrat bastards, are you?
And may have helped fuel some distrust in other states. As those protests were winding down, the Indiana General Assembly was already in session and was preparing to act on some bills that state Democrats did not like.
Well, there were several items. They actually had 11 items that they objected to that we knew we were going to be moving forward on, and had just won a 60-40 majority in the House, and they knew we had the ability to make them happen.
Then House Speaker Brian Bosma says two of the bills involved education, strengthening school choice, and revamping the state's charter school laws to allow more of them.
And then the third was something that several of our caucusmen had been working on for quite a while, and that was right to making Indiana the 23rd right-to-work state in the nation.
Republican Representative Jerry Tor was co-author of the new right-to-work bill.
I've been introducing right-to-work legislation for about 7 years prior to that, at least, because a gentleman from northern Indiana came, talked to me about it. I'd never heard the term. I didn't know what it meant. I started doing some research, and I found one study that talked about job growth, I think manufacturing jobs, on both sides of a border of a right-to-work and non-right-to-work state. The job growth numbers were striking.
And I thought it would even amplify in Indiana because at the time we had no right-to-work border states.
You'll find out just what right to work is in just a moment. But what Democrats in Wisconsin and Democrats in Indiana were facing in both situations was a steady decline in union membership and a corresponding push by some Republicans to minimize union influence.
In 1935, Congress passed what they call the Wagner Act, or the National Labor Relations Act. And that was really the beginning of the heyday for union organizing.
Stephen Maple is an associate professor of business at the University of Indianapolis and studies unions and the history of organized labor.
By the 1940s, early 1940s, you had big labor organizing the steel and the auto and the coal That was pretty much the heyday of union organizing.
He says unions had been around since the late 1800s and were an answer to abuses by companies.
Well, I used to tell some of my small business clients that the best way to avoid being unionized is to be fair and thought of as fair with the employees.
They essentially gave the everyday worker more of a voice in his or her own employment conditions.
I think the problem that some companies have is that they, well, they at least are perceived by some of the employees as not being very fair in their compensation, being kind of sweatshops. So the idea that the company can, you know, terminate you for no cause at all was something that concerned a lot of labor unions, so they convinced employees who otherwise had some, you know, low pay and sort of bad working conditions that let's band together and negotiate a contract, and the contract will give us better pay and better working conditions.
What about that term right to work? What does that mean?
Well, unions, of course, want everybody to be members. When you have a unionized shop, the contract basically says the employee has to join the union within 30 or 60 days, something like that, and start paying union dues, or the company would be forced to fire them. That union security clause is very important for the unions. And the opposite, of course, is, that they don't have to join a union if they don't want to. And that's basically right to work.
A right to work law in conjunction with a beltway like 465 or a loop or beltway like 269.
State Representative Jerry Tor, who co-wrote the right to work bill in 2011.
The job growth in areas like that, plus a right to work, the numbers were even more staggering. Job growth.
A very high percentage, 90% plus of the competitions for new factories and business investment. What we had learned was a quarter to a third of those competitions we never were invited to.
Former Governor Mitch Daniels, now president of Purdue University, explains his rationale and the Republican stance on right to work.
For this specific reason, other states had a freedom the right to work brings, and we didn't. And that's what ultimately changed my mind. It was 7 years of experience, and having done all the other things, we realized if we were going to keep moving forward, we needed to make this change, and so we did.
This is exactly what they're saying. It is no right to work. This is right to work for less. Less pay, less health care, and less safety. That has been proven by study after study.
Then Democratic House Leader Pat Bauer of South Bend. His contention was that people did not understand the meaning of the words right to work, that it sounded like a good and positive piece of legislation because it sounded like it gave people the right to work.
People on the borders listen to Ohio News, Cincinnati, Louisville News, Kentucky, Chicago News, that's near Illinois, and Michigan News, also somewhere in my area. And so that even whatever you know here, which hasn't been explained very well here either because it's only been within these halls, the public, it's a fairly complicated bill with millions of dollars saying one side. One of them was that it creates jobs, but they won't name what jobs, what companies, or what they pay.
I understood that this issue was very symbolic, almost catechism, you know, to many members of the other party.
Coming up, when the twain shall meet.
And I tried to understand the depth of their views about it. At the same time, we were determined, again, to get this done.
You're listening to Walkout, when the Democrats left Indiana.
We will not concede to a list of demands from those who have vacated this state.
You're listening to Walkout, when the Democrats left Indiana.
I was very proud of my father and the Democratic Party for taking a stand on something that was so important.
Representative Maureen Bauer, a Democrat and daughter of former Representative Pat Bauer.
I think, you know, walkouts in general are used by the labor force as a sign of solidarity, and I think that it couldn't have been more symbolic of a gesture on this topic of right to work or right to work for less as we see it now.
For several years, when asked, I took the position that no, we've got enough to do to make Indiana a better, more prosperous state without changing our labor laws.
Former Governor Mitch Daniels, a Republican, was in his second term as governor of Indiana in 2011 and says he had traditionally not been a supporter of right-to-work laws for the state, but by 2011, that had changed.
And so when I came to the conclusion, after several years, that this was an important step to take, I was tried to be really transparent about that. But by the time 2011 came, I had come to realize that if we were going to keep progressing, we needed to make this reform.
Daniel says Indiana had done well competing for jobs and for having the means to attract companies and keep workers. But it became apparent that the state was not always included.
We worked on making taxes better, making regulation more predictable and quick, that our litigation climate was fair and non-punitive. Obviously, we had the biggest infrastructure program in the country during those years. By the time 2011 arrived, we were winning a very high percentage, 90% plus, of the competitions for new factories and business investment. What we had learned was a quarter to a third of those competitions we never were invited to. For this specific reason, other states had freedom, the right to work brings, and we didn't.
You need to understand when you think about this bill that we've had 50 years, nearly, experience under our current legislation. 50 years.
Democratic Representative Ed Delaney.
In fact, the current administration has been downstairs 7 years talking about economic development and only figured out this year that their failure was caused by a 50-year-old choice in Indiana to require people to pay for union representation. Apparently, they were asleep for 7 years.
Just like in Wisconsin, Indiana Republicans wanted to make it so that you would not have to pay union dues to be able to work in certain jobs. It was a position that many Democrats did not like, and in the case of the Indiana House of Representatives, they were adamantly opposed to it. Republican Speaker of the House at the time, Brian Bosma, recalls that in the November 2010 election, Republicans had won a majority in the House, and it was obvious to state Democrats that Republicans were going to be able to push their agenda through. So House Democrats had a list of about a dozen items they didn't care for that Republicans planned on passing that year.
It included the education choice scholarship program and what we have for school choice today. It also included an expansion of charter schools rewrite of that statute, making it more flexible and allowing more charter schools to form in Indiana.
Bosma's take on how unions and state Democrats were and are most closely connected.
In Indiana, there is a very close affiliation. At the time, it was much more than just a close affiliation between the State Teachers Association and the Democrat caucus, in both the, especially in the House, but in the House and Senate. In fact, they were really, the ISTA was the principal funder of campaigns on the Democrat side in Indiana. And while charter schools are targeted in Indiana almost exclusively on lower income, lower performing school areas, that you would think the minority community would be extremely supportive of. In fact, the legislators, both minority legislators and Democrat legislators, were not supportive of that effort, primarily because of ISTA opposition.
But the big sticking point was the Right to Work legislation. Representative Jerry Tor was co-author of that year's Right to Work bill.
Interestingly, our polling showed that when I finally got our caucus leadership interested in doing it, we did some polling, and I always thought the important thing was the jobs it would bring to Indiana, which has turned out to be true, by the way. But what resonated more with the average voter was the freedom of the individual worker to decide whether or not they wanted to be associated with the union.
One term you'll hear a lot in this special is caucus. If you're not familiar with all the legalese and the terminology of state government, Representative Tor explains the term caucus.
You know, we have a caucus of the Republican members and a caucus of the Democrat members that they meet separately. Our caucuses meet in private to talk about issues, whether we want to move them forward and so forth. And so we have meetings not of the whole body, but of the members just of our party. That's referred to as caucus.
Bosma explains the 2011 bill.
Well, what it did was it gave individuals who worked in any operation that had mandatory union participation, it made it an option for them. And they could not be denied employment because they refused to or didn't want to join the union. And you know, our take on it was that it would not drastically change things in Indiana, and it didn't drastically change the status of unions or workers in Indiana, although it has changed some.
I don't know what to say to people who only think about the world in political tactical terms. They cannot comprehend people, but let me tell you, we have some here in Indiana who are just interested in results.
Mitch Daniels.
And we're trying to do some very important things for our state. Reform and improvement of public education, continuation of tight budgets and no tax increases, reform of criminal justice, reform of local government, all in the interest of taxpayers. That's what we're entirely about.
All we're asking is they follow the rules of the House.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
They follow the Constitution of the state of Indiana.
Yeah.
They follow the Constitution of the United States.
The House Minority Leader, or in the case of 2011, the head Democrat in the House, was Pat Bauer of South Bend.
My grandfather was a small business owner. He owned a water softener company.
Maureen Bauer is a state representative and his daughter. She says service runs in the family. Her grandfather was also a state representative and senator before his son Patrick.
He was married with 9 children.
Wow.
So, Irish Catholic family. He and my grandfather are very similar, both graduates of Notre Dame. I think there's a lot of pride from where I grew up in the city of South Bend, and I was always around, you know, the idea of service and governing. It was never really my path, but kind of felt drawn to the idea of service.
Bauer and the Democratic caucus made it clear they were not up for a right-to-work bill in 2011.
I think there's certain instances that bring a caucus together, and it's very hard to maintain that unity. But the only way you do it is by not giving up.
My bill got scheduled for committee, passed out of committee 8-5 on February 21st, which was a Monday. The next day, the Democrats staged their walkout and drove to the hotel in Urbana, where most of them hung out for the next almost 6 weeks.
Coming up.
I'm not negotiating with anybody who walks off the job and takes a taxpayer's check with
it. It may have been just a trip up I-74, but state Democrats and Republicans were 5 weeks apart.
He has embarrassed himself, his caucus, and his party. If he keeps it up, he'll embarrass the entire state.
You're listening to Walkout. When the Democrats left Indiana.
The Democrat House members are in Urbana, Illinois, currently. They have walked out of the session and hopefully will lead to some compromise in the House.
You're listening to Walkout. When the Democrats left Indiana.
I like to make sure that people remember this was not solely about right to work. That certainly was part of it. And there's an argument to be said that if it had been about only one issue, it may have been easier for the Democrats to get what they wanted.
Andy Downs is the director of the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics at Purdue University Fort Wayne.
But because there were a number of issues, the big two, I would say, being education and right to work, because there were a number of issues, though, it was a little more difficult for the caucus to galvanize behind a particular item and really push that.
Most of the Democrats in the Indiana House of Representatives walked out on February 22, 2011, after that year's right to work bill made it through a House committee. The group drove to Urbana, Illinois, where they took up residence in a hotel. That essentially stopped work in the House because there was no quorum. In other words, there were not enough people to legally take votes. It also stifled work in the Senate.
The Democrat House members are in Urbana, Illinois, currently. They have walked out of the session and hopefully will lead to some compromise in the House.
Senator Greg Taylor in a 2011 video from Senate Democrats.
As a result of that, in the Senate this week, we have very little on our agenda. However, we do have approximately 100 House bills that we're going to be working on. We hope that by the end of the session, we will talk about job creation at least one time, get that on the agenda, and hopefully help Hoosiers in the state of Indiana find employment.
Working in the hospitality industry, being a legislator is very much like that at a larger level. You know, it's people taking care of people, and that's what we're there to do as an elected official, is to serve and represent our district.
Maureen Bauer is a state representative in the seat that was once held by her father, Pat Bauer, until 2020. He was the Democratic leader in the House.
It's interesting because I remember him. I would watch him on MSNBC. It was such a big deal. We had gained national attention. But this isn't intended to be a publicity stunt, but it did get your message out. And it is a way to, as I said, slow down bad policy and block extreme policy change from happening.
So why Urbana, Illinois, or as it's sometimes referred to, Champaign, Urbana, with its neighboring city?
It was, as I understood it, it was a place that was close enough, certainly outside the state, not close to the edge where someone might want to make the argument that the border between Indiana and Illinois was, they were on the wrong side of the border. But it also was an urban enough area where they could find all the facilities they were looking for.
Back home in Indiana, the criticism from Republicans like Governor Mitch Daniels was coming hard and fast.
The House Democrats have shown a complete contempt for the democratic process. The way that works, as we all learned in grade school, is that you, if you seek public office, you come do your duty. You argue, you debate, you amend if you can, you vote no if you feel you should. If you're not successful, you go home and take your case to the voters. You don't walk off the job, take your public paycheck with you, and attempt to bring the whole process to a screeching halt.
Daniels believed the walkout was outrageous, as did Republican House leaders.
You know, if they persist, the Democratic Party of Indiana will need a rebranding effort because this is as anti-democratic as behavior can be.
Andy Downs explains that walkouts had happened before, both on the Republican and Democrat sides, though they had always been shorter and more of a gesture.
There comes a point where you are either so far in the minority or things are so rigid on party lines that there is no other avenue for trying to leverage a change in behavior. A walkout is in many respects, a last-ditch effort by a minority group to say, you need us. If you don't have us, you can't have a quorum, therefore you can't get anything done. So you need us to show up, and if you want us to show up, you're going to have to make some concessions.
The walkout continued, even though the Indiana Senate had already essentially solved the problem.
And initially, it was all about right to work.
Representative Jerry Tour.
Almost immediately, Senator Long, who was pro tem at the time, pretty much took it off the table, said, you know, we got important work to do here, so we're not going to deal with right to work in the Senate. So please come back and do your work. That's when another list of 12 bills were demanded to be taken off the calendar. And this was close to our deadlines for House bills moving out of the House.
And so it goes. The walkout continued, and Indiana's Democrat representatives, all but one, remained in Illinois.
Occasionally, they would have someone in the chamber to object to a quorum.
Then Speaker of the House, Brian Bossman.
But the vast majority of their members were in a hotel in Champaign, Urbana, that happened to be located next door to Union Hall. So, and of course, we had folks over there watching, as did the media, and folks in the Union Hall were bringing over food, and they feigned having, you know, meetings and this type of deal. But really, I think everybody came home on the weekend.
What were they doing over there in Urbana?
Well, it was interesting because, as everybody knows, I have another home in Springfield, so I was just back there that weekend just taking care of usual stuff.
Abdul Hakim Shabazz is a political commentator and runs the website IndyPolitics.org.
And then I found out where the Democrats were staying in one of the hotels, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop by on Sunday morning just to see if anybody is there and see if I can get an interview. And I waited around for about 15 minutes of change, and then Representative Vernon Smith came down the steps, and the look on his face was priceless, because he couldn't believe that A, I found out where they were, and B, I was there. And so I was like, hey, Vern, come on, buddy, let's talk, let's have this conversation. Why are you guys here? You know, what's up with right to work? Do you feel like you're not representing your constituents by not being at the legislature? And it was a good conversation.
Well, we know they were doing work. That's absolutely true. I think it's safe to say some of that was theater, but they were actually trying to keep up on the work they were doing. They still had to pay attention to what was happening in the legislature, even though no action was being taken anywhere. They had to take care of constituent service, the calls from their constituents asking for them to do things. So we do know that there was work being done. If it was a 40-hour-a-week job, maybe not. Was there some theater? Absolutely, but they were certainly doing some work.
Since state legislators get their paychecks at the beginning of the legislative session in January, Republicans had some leverage to publicly criticize and shame Democratic lawmakers.
Their holdup in Illinois, apparently a popular locale for angry politicians, I guess on the lam. Only Indiana's governor, unlike Wisconsin's governor, offering them an olive branch, dropping a controversial union crackdown bill that they said was keeping them away. But here's the thing, they are still away, and now Indiana Republican Governor Mitch Daniels is wondering what it takes to bring them back.
Well, we're just going to wait on their conscience or their constituents to call them home, do the job they're supposed to be doing. I will say this, they're going to hit the road. They picked the right state. You know, these are the people who spent Indiana broke a few years ago. We've been cleaning up after them ever since. Every year they try to spend money we don't have. And maybe a look at Illinois, where they can't pay their bills. They've been raising taxes left and right, driving business away, and their infrastructure's crumbling. Maybe a few days over there will tell them that we've had a little better idea here in Indiana.
My name is Vi Simpson, and I'm here to support my teachers.
At a rally in Bloomington, 4 days after the walkout began.
I know that you all feel put upon. I know you feel the disdain that's coming out of Indianapolis.
Matt Pierce.
We have Matt Pierce on the phone. Matt is in an undisclosed location. He assures me that Dick Cheney is not with him. Matt, what's the message for the crowd?
Coming up, the hordes of people who came to Indiana and the two men who negotiated.
They are calling a timeout in the session. Why? So that the people's rights can be heard.
You're listening to Walkout, when the Democrats left Indiana.
I think I just hung up on my state representative.
Hey, hey,
You are the front line. You and your brothers and sisters in labor who have been at the State House every single day this week and who will be continuing to show their faces next week and the weeks to follow.
You're listening to Walkout, when the Democrats left Indiana.
Because we cannot break the solidarity or the unity that everyone is feeling right now.
Right to work wasn't the only issue keeping Indiana's House Democrats in Illinois. They began their walkout on February 22, 2011. Almost immediately, the state Senate leadership made it clear that they would not be taking up any right-to-work bills. But the Democrat leadership rebutted with a long list of bills they wanted gone. Two big ones were school choice vouchers and the expansion of charter schools in the state.
I saw someone say that the House Democrats are hijacking the session. Well, quite honestly, I think they're protecting this state from being hijacked.
As Democratic legislators holed up in an Illinois motel, state lawmakers attended an education rally in Bloomington.
Public education, future of our nation.
It would not be the last rally to happen while the walkout was going on. Not by a long shot.
I'm asking you to join hands with me and the House Democrats who are being very politically courageous in Illinois. And don't let Governor Daniels tell you that they're not doing their Democratic duty because they have fled to Illinois. It is their constitutional right. It is their constitutional duty to break a quorum in order to protect the interests of their constituents and the interests of the minority.
We're not compromising with anybody who took the taxpayers' money and walked off the job. If we're going to talk about anything, they're going to have to come back and agree to stay back.
Then Governor Mitch Daniels.
No one has ever done this, let alone go out of state, cash their paycheck for the whole year and then walk off the job. It's a first, and I hope it'll be a last.
Do you think that this was also maybe on kind of another level, a power play between Mitch Daniels and Pat Bauer?
I think it probably was. You know, we're talking about two very strong individuals who were not known for backing down.
Andy Downs, director of the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics.
And as far as Pat Bauer is concerned, this was, in many respects, the one big hammer he had. Stopped the legislature from doing anything. And that means that the Daniels administration would be stopped from doing things as well. So that certainly could have been the case.
We were determined, again, to get this done. And so we appealed to them, but in a way to the public, to tell them to, you know, get on back to work, have your say, cast your votes, do your job.
All that said, I think they deserve another chance. Let the heat of the moment cool, I hope. Maybe if their leadership doesn't have a conscience about the unconscionable things they've done, maybe individual members do. But I do hope that having made their point, scored one victory on the big issue, they will decide to come back to work and let's do the people's business together.
I think the Democrats were split. Some think they should stay and fight. Others think they should leave and kind of shut down the process.
Abdul Hakim Shabazz of IndyPolitics.org.
But I think I will give them credit for all basically sticking together on that point.
Whether the walkout was a power play between Minority Leader Pat Bauer and Governor Mitch Daniels, the negotiations would be between Bauer and the man who took over for him as Speaker of the House, Brian Bosma.
Ultimately, Pat Bauer wanted to come back and have a private settlement agreement. And I said, sure, come on back and we'll meet. But I left the two doors open in the speaker's office with the media all not stepping into the office, but they were out in the hall, able to hear and see everything. And when Pat figured out I wasn't going to do any kind of secret private deal, they resolved to stay there.
As the walkout stretched into March, House Democrats and Republicans did call each other and negotiate.
We did know that they were watching us on the internet.
Representative Jerry Tor.
Because as rules chairman, unfortunately, I was the one who had to offer the motions to fine the members that weren't showing up. which is something we are allowed to do under our rules. And we eventually enacted a $250 per day fine, not because we wanted to hurt them financially, but because we wanted to give them an incentive to come back.
While the fines may have played a part in eventually making the Democrat representatives homesick, Governor Mitch Daniels says it was public pressure that kept them negotiating.
We absolutely challenged the idea of a walkout that would try to bring the entire General Assembly to a halt. And I think we were able to build public support both for the merits of the legislation, but also for the principle that you could make a demonstration for a while, but that ultimately you should do your duty and return to the State House.
Many as 15,000 protesters at the State House every day during their walkout. Some days it was just 5,000 or 6,000, and we expected, honestly, suspected rather, that many paid to be there. Mostly union members bust in from all over the Midwest, chanting. They had some really nice chants for me. How do you spell Hitler? D-O-S-M-A. Signs with my picture, my face on it, with the international no symbol and corporate, I can't remember what that second word was, but something uncomplimentary that I won't say on the radio.
There were lots of protests here, like, you know, thousands of people kind of showing up. And some of them actually protested from the Brian Bosma's home up in the Lawrence area, which I thought was kind of a bit bizarre, but
a little personal.
A little personal, yeah.
And that is when I adopted the mantra, Churchill's mantra, during the Battle of London, which was keep calm and carry on. If you go back and look, you'll find pictures of me with a keep calm and carry on cup, a big sign, a framed sign in my office.
They only have to do with taking power from the working families of America and giving it to the filthy rich and corporations.
We did some creative things like opening the chamber to the protesters so they could come in and sit down and hear presentations on the bill. To the consternation of the state police, I waded into a crowd of 400 or 500 protesters to talk with them personally.
One day stronger! One day stronger! One day stronger! One day stronger!
I think they had a lot of people from Indiana, but also had a lot of folks from out of state. That I remember, like Kentucky, Ohio, Illinois, because I don't think there were that many. I don't think there were that many union people here in the state of Indiana that could like sort of take the day off to come down and do all the protesting. The other thing I remember them chanting was "One day longer, one day stronger," which I thought was almost like a Viagra commercial or something along those lines. But that I remember: "One day longer, one day stronger."
With hefty fines looming for non-participation and public opinion far from their favor, the pressure on Democrats was stacking up.
Ultimately, I made it abundantly clear that the day they returned, the calendar would be exactly the same as it was on the day they left. The one item we ultimately agreed to remove from the calendar was the right to work initiative in the 2011 session. So we passed all the other 10 objectionable items to them, including the school choice education scholarships and the charter school expansion.
Coming up.
Won't you come home, Pat Bauer? Won't you come home?
The standoff couldn't last forever, and somebody had to have a sense of humor about the thing.
I confess I was sitting in a meeting in Washington, D.C., and I sort of composed a little jingle.
You're listening to Walkout, when the Democrats left Indiana.
They are deeply allied with the, in this case, the teachers' unions, just as they were with other unions on the right-to-work front, and we're doing their best to represent the interests of those special interest groups. It was a very busy time, probably made a little bit more so by the fact that that the Democratic caucus was gone all those days.
You're hearing Walkout when the Democrats left Indiana. You'll now hear an ad supplied by then-Governor Mitch Daniels aimed at the House Democrats involved in the five-week-plus walkout.
Won't you come home, Pat Bauer? Won't you come home? You've been a bad, bad boy. You took your public paycheck, you took our reps, and ran to
House Democrats, you have a right to your say and a right to vote no, but no right to tear up the democratic process just because the election didn't go your way. So come on back to work and stay there till the job's done.
Paid for by aiming higher pay.
Let's talk about that ad, Please Come Home. Pat Bauer, Please Come Home. What was that ad all about?
I was just, number one, to have a little fun with it. And I confess I was sitting in a meeting in Washington, D.C., and probably let my mind wander. And I sort of composed a little jingle and then worked with some folks to finish it off. But, you know, it was an attempt to have a little fun, and but also to make a serious point. Namely, that this is the people's business. You're being paid to do it, and decamping for another state and hiding in a hotel there indefinitely is really not respecting the public and doing your duty.
And back then, in 2011, it was a way to slow things down, to have the workers' voices heard.
State Representative Maureen Bauer, daughter of then-House Minority Leader Pat Bauer.
I think there was a 20-hour committee hearing at one point. You know, hundreds of thousands of workers or tens of thousands of workers showing up at the State House. And there's videos in the House archive of my dad at the podium, and you can hear the cheers of the workers in the halls of the State House.
Here we are on the way down to Indy. Big labor rally.
On March 10th, while most House Democrats were at a hotel in Urbana, Illinois, to break quorum and stop Republicans from passing a right-to-work bill and stop two bills on education and school choice, 30,000 people gathered at the Indiana State House and at Government Center in downtown Indianapolis.
Did you personally walk out and look at the big rally on March 10th?
Well, it's hard to miss. you know, yes, it was interesting. You know, we always took the point of view that people have a right to be heard, and with some exceptions, I thought people behaved in a responsible way. There was a little damage, and there were some things, you know, said and done that maybe weren't entirely responsible. But in general, it was an exercise of First Amendment rights, far better than what we saw in a few other states, and certainly better than things we've seen in more recent days.
But inside the State House, Republican leadership and Democratic leadership were negotiating, and the Republicans were laying down the law. Democrats who didn't come back and finish the legislative session would be fined for every day they didn't show up. Then House Speaker Brian Bosma.
Well, I had our staff go back and research every time that a fine had been levied in the state legislature. But they had always been waived without exception. They had been levied, and then when people came back, they were waived and never paid. I made it abundantly clear that if the Democrats did not return, that we were going to adopt fines, and I was not going to have a waiver provision.
Bosma says there were actually two rounds of fines, and even though they did ultimately waive some of the fines...
Not everybody at the legislature is rich, and there are some who... subside on the then $21,000 a year that was received, or $11,000 a year plus per diem.
Bosma says the Democratic legislators ultimately paid about $1,250 apiece. But that was after several fights in court and a ruling from the state Supreme Court. The Democrats were facing pressure, and by late March, it was time to come home.
I remember I was having lunch with a friend of mine who was a progressive Democrat. We get along really well, even though we have different politics.
Abdul Hakim Shabazz with IndyPolitics.org recalls that some people in the public were paying attention to what was going down at the State House and in Illinois.
And so while we were having lunch, I asked the waitress who was serving us, like, hey, excuse me, can I ask you a question? I was like, do you pay attention to government politics? He's like, no, not real. I was like, hey, let me ask you this. If you didn't show up for work, would you expect to be paid? And she was like, no. Just pretty simple, no. My friend was like, well, let's say your boss was treating you unfairly. She's like, well, that doesn't matter. If I don't show up for work, I don't get paid. I was like, see? And that's where I thought most of the nonpartisan people were, is they don't see right to work or all the intricacies of politics. What they see is people aren't showing up to do their job. And so if they don't show up to do their job, why should they get paid?
It looked like there was a lot of attention coming to the issue.
Andy Downs, director of the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics.
So even if, 95% of the population was not paying attention, the group that was paying attention was a very active group of individuals. If you ask the folks who were involved, I think what they would say is what brought them back was the negotiation, the fact that the Republican caucus and Democratic caucus were willing to and able to reach some sort of an agreement about how things were going to proceed for the rest of that session. They would say that's what happened. In other words, the Democrats would say, no, the tactic worked. We negotiated an agreement, and the agreement kept right to work off the plate for that session.
Negotiations happened that wouldn't have happened otherwise. We slowed the process down.
I'm sure there are some people who would like to say, no, you chickened out because of the fines, or the punishment was becoming too severe, and you weren't really willing to stand up for your principles, and that's why you came back. But we can't know that without climbing into the minds of the people who were involved.
On March 28th, after negotiations and an agreement that the Right to Work bill would no longer be considered by the Indiana House, the walkout was over. The Democrats returned and joined Representative Steve Stemler, the lone Democrat to remain in Indianapolis the entire time.
I don't want to say everybody just came back and went back to business, but it was pretty much so like that. There may have been an underlying... an undertow to it where people might have been upset, but you couldn't. I mean, people were there to do their job, and they were back to do their job. And we kept every quote threat that we made. Same calendar. Not going to waive the fines. We're going to pick up right where we left off. We stuck with that and made it very. None of it was a surprise because I said it almost every day for 25 business days out of 36.
The legislature was still being paid to make laws, and they did.
We ended on time. It took some late nights to make that very late, a lot of very late nights to make that happen. But we continued through and completed the session without an extension, without a special session, which I was very proud of.
I think it probably did compress things a little bit, but that was hardly the first time. It was always our viewpoint that Indiana didn't have a year to waste.
They're all fighting back now. I hear it every day. They don't want these strange individuals, these radical rights. They want them out.
Coming up, the agreement that was good for 1 year and 1 year only.
There's no doubt that that played a huge part in our increasing our majority by 9 members in the 2012 election.
That was really incredible. Indiana had a place.
You're listening to Walkout, when the Democrats left Indiana. Were you in contact with your dad during the time of the walkout? Did you talk with him about what was going on?
I think I talked to my mom, to be honest. It was, 5 weeks? I met my parents in Las Vegas for a Teamsters rally with President Jim Hoffa, and I got to see my dad speak before a hall full of thousands of Teamster members.
You're listening to Walkout, when the Democrats left Indiana.
But our timeout, we call it a timeout, others call it something else. We call it an education of the public, suddenly turned the tide, slowed down some of the hits in Indiana, killed right to work.
After the walkout and after the 2011 General Assembly was done, Democrat leader Pat Bauer spoke at several conventions and gatherings, asserting that Democrats in the Indiana House of Representatives did the right thing when they packed up and left the state for 6 weeks, preventing a right-to-work bill from passing for the year.
It's apropos because this is a war on workers. This is our civil war. This is a war we have to fight. This is a war we have to win. Or the middle class is gone in this country. You know it, and I know it.
But the agreement that got Republicans and Democrats back together to finish their work for the year was good for the rest of 2011 only.
I think that it's pretty easy to say that any victory they could claim was short-lived.
Andy Downs, director of the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics.
It was only a year later when they lost on the issue. The problems that they've had in terms of electoral competition suggest that it was not well-received when they did what they did. But we should keep in mind the national context, because we also had the discussion about the Affordable Care Act going out at the same time.
And the many voters that left us knew not what they were doing. They knew not what they were doing. They were either mad against the lies that were created against Obama health care, or just mad about everything. And they blamed it on the president. And they didn't know about the issues in their own state.
Well, I come from a long line of union members. Years and years of union members.
It was 2012 when Indiana finally passed a right-to-work bill. And the rhetoric was almost as raucous as it was in 2011. Both Representative Jerry Tour and former House Speaker Brian Bosma recall the pressure that for them turned into uncomfortable and sometimes fearful situations.
I think most of the vitriol that I was the brunt of was in 2012 when we actually were passing right to work. That's when I had protesters at my house, you know, and 2012 session, Speaker Bosma and I couldn't go hardly anywhere outside the hallways of the chamber without having a state police escort because of the protesters that were there at the state house at the time.
Our neighbor, who was a former union representative out in California, said, where's Cheryl, his daughter? And I said, well, they're down here at the state house. And he said, they should stay there. Because a big bus pulled up, and these guys got out and protested there. We had state police had to come out to keep them off our lawn.
Bosma says he got death threats, which he didn't talk about at the time.
There's someone untoward in every group, and I would say the vast majority of the advocates or opponents of right to work would have nothing to do with anything like that. But there were always somebody in a crowd, so there were some bona fide death threats.
And the protests at the State House were led by people from different parts of the country. They could be heard as the bill was debated in the House chamber.
I can live with people in my front yard carrying signs. If that's what they need to do, that's fine. I can live with people cussing at me when I walk out there, calling me names, impugning my character. That's fine. If that's what they need to do, I can live with that. But in the end of the day, I think it's time for everyone to take a step back and say, what are we doing here? And I'm telling you, we're giving freedom to those workers who don't want to be part of something they don't believe in.
See, what you're doing is you're destroying my community. My community is built on the backs of men and women who wear a tool belt, that work in an open hearth, and bust their behind every day, work and shift work, 365 days a year.
Democrat leadership again protested with some vigor. But when they walked out again, they found out Hoosiers and the General Assembly had no stomach for another such protest. It lasted less than a week and was not nearly as memorable.
Yeah, somebody said that they walked out for a short period of time. I didn't recall that. I don't remember it being very long because they had gotten so much backlash from the long walkout in 2011. And so I didn't even recall that they had walked out, but it wasn't very long, I'm sure.
And it had some consequences for the minority leader.
I can't tell you what a beautiful sight you are.
Yeah. Former State Senator Vi Simpson speaking the day the right-to-work bill was passed.
I have a short, simple message. My friends, elections matter. Yeah. In 2010, some of our friends, some of our neighbors, either stayed home or voted Republican. We can never, ever let that happen again.
While it may have seemed like elections were the logical focus for Democrats, they would not be able to get the traction that they wanted in the next election. Or the next, or the next. The Democratic Party would in fact lose members in the state legislature, and in just a few months, the House leader would lose his job. Former Governor Mitch Daniels.
I do think it was pretty clear that the Indiana public didn't respond well, at least after a point, to the idea of anybody, either party, walking off the job and staying in another state, as opposed to doing the duty they had sought election to do.
In July 2012, the Democratic caucus met in Lafayette with 23 members present. At least 21 of them voted to replace Bauer as leader. Former Representative Linda Lawson.
While Representative Bauer has done some very positive things over the course of his leadership term, we feel it is time to move forward with greater transparency, bipartisan acceptance, and a willingness to work together as we look forward to the November elections and beyond.
She was chosen as leader. Lawson is a former Hammond police officer and in 2020 was the running mate for Democratic candidate for governor Woody Myers.
That was disappointing. I don't know if it was the right decision because after that they went into the super minority and we haven't been able to get out.
Bauer's daughter, Maureen, now a state representative herself, says the party could have still used her father's leadership.
I don't think it's a reflection of one person. By the passage of that law eventually happening, I think it was a true test to the caucus as a whole.
And I think there were some implications, too, for the Democratic Party in the state to come out of this with the ousting eventually of leader Pat Bauer and the some people might call a fall from grace.
I'm not qualified to say what role it did or didn't play. You know, Speaker Bauer had served really an historically long time and was probably about ready to lay his burden down anyway. So I don't know that it played a role, but in that eventual change.
Caucus business is always handled the way the caucus has chosen to do it. Well, we voted to proceed during this fashion today, and a majority of the caucus has decided to do this.
Coming up.
Legislators understand that their point of view is a point of view.
Was it a consequence of their actions, or were the times just a-changing? You're listening to Walkout, when the Democrats left Indiana. The Walkout, 10 years later.
Well, I would say we probably don't know until this year. I think it probably took 10 years to see the results, but they began studying wages.
You're listening to Walkout, when the Democrats left Indiana.
I believe the data shows that wages have gone down and benefits have been reduced. And there were layoffs. Middle class is continuing to struggle in Indiana.
The viewpoint of State Representative Maureen Bauer, whose father, former Democrat leader Pat Bauer, led the walkout.
Union memberships are low, so you lose your bargaining rights, your collective voice that helps you have negotiation power.
And yet you look at where we rank among other states and how the
the pay schedules are, and we're not particularly one to brag.
Stephen Maple is a business professor and expert on the history of unions at the University of Indianapolis.
You may have jobs come in. The question is, are they good jobs in the sense of comparing them to our neighbors? And I think we're bragging more than they really deserve to brag.
State Representative Jerry Tour, co-author of the Right to Work Bill.
But yeah, I believe Republican leadership has, and specifically Speaker Bozma's leadership, has had a lot to do over the last little more than a decade in moving Indiana from somewhere around 35th, 37th in ratings of business friendly and business climate and by different groups to now number one in the Midwest and top five in the nation in almost everybody's estimation.
Today, we proudly announce the global giant Emphasis will call the city of Indianapolis home.
Since 2011, Indiana has built relationships with other countries, the most recent focus being India. Those relationships have brought companies like Infosys to the state, with more Amazon branches being added, and even interest as a possible site for the second Amazon headquarters. Even though that didn't work out, Indiana has added jobs each year, even during the coronavirus pandemic. Still, Professor Maple says he doesn't believe that the wages are anything to write home about.
You know, you're Republican in a Republican administration. What else are you going to say? Our tax rate is okay. Our property taxes are probably okay. But, you know, we've got a fairly high sales tax, income tax. You know, it's fairly modest. I mean, we're not New York, but we're not the best of all possible states in taxes, too. So, you know, I think they're sort of overselling it a little bit.
While maybe more businesses came to Indiana, and we hear that message over and over again, it's a great place to start a business. A business is nothing without a strong and healthy workforce.
People are able to find data that backs up their position.
Political scientist Andy Downs.
Whether they want to say that right to work is good because we have low unemployment rate, or whether they want to say right to work is bad because wages are not as high as they used to be.
But another one of the lingering effects may have been on the Democratic Party.
And I think they felt like they had the moral high ground, but it turned out to there was a big backlash against them. A lot of voters, I heard from several of the members that they really got berated over the summer when they were out campaigning, constituents saying, why weren't you there to do your job even though you didn't agree with the policy that was being moved forward?
State Representative Jerry Tour.
Oh, the walkout definitely hurt them. There's no doubt that that played a huge part in our increasing our majority by 9 members in the 2012 election.
The decision to absent themselves for such a long period of time was a tremendous political miscalculation.
Former Speaker of the House Brian Bozma.
Good members in their caucus were defeated based on following the leadership into the abyss of a walkout.
For Democrat Maureen Bauer, the consequence of a Republican supermajority means Democrats are often silenced in today's legislature.
One of my first committee meetings in Judiciary with Chairman Tour, no Democrat amendments were heard on a very important issue of civil liability as it relates to COVID. So that was very frustrating. I was coming in with the impression that I could amend a bill to serve people better, in particular, protect those individuals in long-term care living facilities. And our amendments were not even heard.
She cites the 2021 legislative session as an example of what happens when one side has too much power. When some black representatives were booed on the House floor after talking about some personal experiences of bias.
Here we go again. The discrimination and segregation, the things like that is, excuse me, I have a right.
I think what happens is, because I remember having a conversation with someone in leadership a couple years ago. And what they said is sometimes you can have too big a supermajority because it's like herding cats.
Abdul Hakim Shabazz with IndyPolitics.org.
And when it was the days of 52-48, you couldn't go too far one way or the other because you would always have to keep everybody on board. And so because you had that small majority. Now with like a 60-71, you know, seat majority, Republicans can do whatever they want. Which, is that a good thing? Well, I think history will let us know that. But sometimes some ideas that maybe shouldn't make their way through the system actually do because you've got that supermajority.
After more than 50 years of service in the state legislature, former Democratic leader Pat Bauer has retired.
He's helping me and my mom. They're both helping me plant. We planted 2 acres of vineyard in June, and since then he's been helping me fight off deer.
What do you feel after looking back 10 years later is the legacy of this walkout? Do you think people remember it besides just the people who were in government at the time?
I doubt too many people do. I'm glad it hasn't been replicated. There certainly is a legacy, though, because Indiana was the first state in half a century, and the first state north of the Mason-Dixon line to pass right to work. But as soon as we did, Michigan followed, West Virginia followed, a host of other states did.
Special thanks to Mitch Daniels, Brian Bosma, Jerry Tour, Andy Downs, Maureen Bauer, Abdul Hakim Shabazz, and Stephen Maple. For consulting producer Eric Berman, I'm Chris Davis.